everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are always excited to talk with authors. And we have a great one here today. We have returning guest, Rachel McGee is here to talk about her new book, The Beach Escape. And Rachel, it's so nice to have you back.
Thanks. It's fun to be here.
Yes. So last time we had Rachel on was way back in 2019.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Right? May of 2019, which it feels like another lifetime ago.
a lot of things have happened since the last book came out, Beach Wedding Weekend.
Yeah. So how have you been? How was quarantine for you? Was it a productive time or not an unproductive time?
Yeah, I would say both. I have two kids and a husband. So quarantine was a very loud experience because everybody was here all the time, which is really fun. But also, you know, distracting. And so I would say writing wise, it wasn't the most productive time for me, but it picked back up right after that. So it was good. But I have busy teenagers. So quarantine didn't last too long and they've been back out for a while. So
that's good. Yeah. Did you like take up making sourdough or do any of those things?
No. Now, I wish that I did. I had all of these plans of things that I was going to get done. And I cleaned out my pantry once.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah. And then I had a lot of started hobbies that never went anywhere. So now I'm no better baker now than I was pre-COVID, sadly.
Yeah. So you had Beach Wedding Weekend in 2019.
Yes.
So that was your first book with Hallmark.
It was.
Yeah. And how did you feel like that all turned out?
I love Hallmark. So it's always fun to have a book come out with Hallmark. And there was kind of a big gap in there with COVID. And so it's fun to have another beach book coming out.
Yeah. I saw on your website, you had another book, The Inn at Summer Island.
Yes. Yeah. That came out last summer. It, I wish I had that one up here, but I don't. It's the same genre as my Hallmark book, same sweet romance. It has maybe a little bit heavier than my Hallmark books, but same, fun stories with a guaranteed happy ending. It's a story about Millie who, inherits a beach house that she's going to turn into, or has been a bed and breakfast and she wants to continue it as a bed and breakfast, but it means a lot of work. So she has to roll up her sleeves and get to work and do a lot of the projects herself. So we have this very optimistic, strong heroine, which I love. And everything stands in her way, including her next door neighbor, who is not super excited about maybe there being a bed and breakfast there. So he is a rule follower and has some opinions. And so we see them kind of have that conflict, but he's great too. So it's just a fun beachy read. She finds some lost love letters in there from her great aunt that are fun. And we kind of see that romance a little bit unfold through the story. So it's a fun one.
That sounds cute. That sounds good. So you obviously love the beach.
I do.
The beach. Yeah. What is it? What's your favorite part about being at the beach?
I love the whole experience. I love the ocean. I think that maybe is my favorite thing. I love the sound of it. I love just the being in the water. I love the smell of that salt water on the beach. I love the relaxation of the beach. It's kind of a different pace of life when you're near the shore. Everything's a little more relaxed, a little more chill. You have to, you know, the ocean changes every day. It looks different. You can go one day and it can have huge waves and be all turned up, and the next day it'll be totally calm and clear. And so I love that unpredictability of it and how that kind of makes us relax and let things come as they are. It's not so tight and tense. So I think that maybe is my favorite part of the beach.
I'm with you. I love it too. And it's very calming, very, I know it's, I feel like it's a cliche to be like, oh, ocean waves calming, but nevertheless, it's very calming.
It is. I was on the beach one time with a girlfriend. We had taken a little girl's trip and she said, as she's laying out on her beach chair, she said, this, I think, is more therapeutic than visiting a therapist. And I thought, yes, it is. That is, sometimes you just need to, sometimes you do need to visit a therapist, right? But sometimes you need to just relax and hear those waves.
And I know it's not like the best for your skin or whatever, but I think it is so relaxing, just laying out and feeling the sun on you.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so good.
Yeah, I agree. Except not right now because it's so hot everywhere. I don't know that I want the sun beating directly on me, but most of the year, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get in the water and get kind of cold and then, and then lie out.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's heaven.
Yeah. So the beach escape takes place in the same area as Beach Wedding Weekend, which is at Emerald Coast in Florida, which I adore. I think it is maybe some of my favorite beaches because they're so beautiful and the towns are cute and charming. And so it's just a really fun place to be. And every time I'm there, I just think we should have more stories set here. So it was
that like Tampa kind of area sort of?
No, up in the panhandle. So like Walton County from like Pensacola over to like Panama City. That kind of area.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by W Rated, the podcast where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Join me, Daisy.
And me, Claire, as we break down the IMDb bottom 100, choosing a different film from the list every episode.
We take a deep dive into the plot, production, release, and reviews, usually with a special guest, to uncover if these films are truly as bad as everyone says they are.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, and anywhere else you find your podcasts.
And it's called the Emerald Coast.
It's called the Emerald Coast because the water is kind of a greenish color, as opposed to like the turquoisey that you see farther down in Miami or the Keys.
Yeah.
And it has really, the beaches are this white sand that's really pretty. So it's, if you have never been there, it's worth the trip.
Oh, it sounds like heaven.
Beautiful. Yes.
I've been to Tampa once before. That area and the beaches there, and that was so fun.
They loved the beaches.
They were so great because they were very swimmable. You know, they weren't rocky. They were pretty deep. Early in, like, so you don't have to swim out far to get like a deep. And they weren't that wavy.
Yes.
So it was like perfect. I thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that area too.
I mean, I love Hawaii. Who doesn't love Hawaii? But
of course.
But you sometimes the waves can be pretty hard on the North Shore.
Yeah,
can be pretty strong.
And the water can be cooler sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm a warm water girl, so I like my water a little bit more.
On the
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want goosebumps when I get in the water.
Yeah, I mean that's the problem with California beaches is that they are pretty cold, but. Still.
Yes. Oh, but so pretty.
So right? Fun. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I'm excited. I'm going to be able to go to Santa Barbara just for a day and a half in my next trip. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
It's so I've been there. That is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So yes. So the beach escape, how long did it take you to write the beach escape?
Oh gosh. Let's see. Just a few months, I think. This one was done in about 4 months. Part of that was because there was a pretty quick deadline on this one when I started it. But this one was easy to write because it's a fun story. And I think that it had been a story that I had in my mind for a long time. So once I sat down to write it, it flowed pretty easily.
Cool. Yeah. How did you get the idea for it?
Good question. I was on a trip with my family in the Keys in the Florida Keys, and we were driving back from Key West to where we were staying in Key Largo. And my sister-in-law said, hey, we've had some friends who did this, and they went to this turtle rehab hospital, and it's on the way, we should stop. And so, of course, we all love sea turtles, so we did. And it was very similar to, or I guess the sea turtle hospital in the book was based off of this one that we went to. And so we toured this facility and saw what they did with sea turtles that had been rescued off of the Florida Keys. And I just thought everything, it was just so interesting how they rescued the turtles, the things that they did to help the turtles, and then how they released them back into the ocean and when they released them. And then also the turtles that could not be released back for whatever reason. And they had a big pool, just like in the book, for those turtles, and getting to see them. And we got to feed those turtles and how they interacted in what was close to as a real life environment as they could get, but still be have the protection that they needed. So it was a super fun experience. And as soon as I walked in, I thought, okay, these turtles have a story to tell, and the people that are here have a story to tell. And that's kind of where the story came from.
Cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book? You've talked a little bit of it there, but tell us a little bit about the story.
So it's the story of Molly, who is a veterinarian, and life has not gone quite according to her plan. So she ends up leaving where she is, and the story picks up with her at her very first job as a traveling vet. So she goes and does very temporary assignments to cover other vets while they're on short-term leave. And her first assignment is on the Florida coast, where she meets on her very first day, the owner operator of the local turtle rehab hospital, when he comes to get her to do an exam of a turtle. Of a sea turtle. And she has some experience with sea turtles, but she doesn't feel super confident, I guess. So it's taking her a little bit out of her comfort zone, but she just kind of falls in love with these turtles. They ask her to stay. Grant, who is the owner of the sea turtle rehab place, asks her to stay on and work with him while she's in town, and it's out of her comfort zone, so she says no. But he takes her out to on his sailboat, kind of as a thank you for seeing this sea turtle, and they end up rescuing a sea turtle that's in distress, and so that kind of turns it around. So the rest of the story is her working at this sea turtle rehab facility and her relationship with Grant. They both kind of have things from their past that are preventing them from wanting to dive into a relationship. So they have to overcome that. But of course, mm-hmm. It's a Hallmark, so they do. They end up happily ever after. But you'll have to read to see what happily ever after looks like.
So how did you come up with Molly and Grant as characters?
Well, I think that's a good question. I never know how they come up as characters. They just sort of come into my mind. I think when I was picturing this, I wanted a veterinarian. And so that's just kind of who Molly fell into be. And her backstory kind of comes with this extra layer of complication that you can see how passionate she is and how caring she is. And life just kind of hasn't handed her everything she had hoped for. I don't have a good answer on where Molly came from. She just always was. Mm-hmm. Grant, I think, was a little more fun because I kind of pictured somebody who was rugged and outdoorsy and beachy, but also has this very tenderness that loves animals and works with animals and how passionate he is. And so that's kind of where the combination of who Grant was.
Yeah. I also liked the side romance between his sister, who's getting married, and her fiance. That was kind of a fun, that was a good decision, because then you had like different events that they both mm-hmm. needed to be at and like kind of needed to have a date for, or I mean, it provided a good timeline for their romance, I think, as well.
Yeah. And it kind of forced them into some things that maybe they wouldn't have done otherwise. Mm-hmm. That's the number one question I get is there a story about a sister? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, actually there's not, but maybe there should be about their romance. Cause as I write the stories and the characters evolve, I'm like, ooh, Claire mm-hmm. and her story would be fun to know too.
Yeah. So you must have had to do a lot of research about turtles to write the book. There's a lot in this book about turtles. I did.
Yeah. They, a lot more than you think. I kind of think, well, I don't have to, it's not going to go that in detail about turtles. It's not an actual book about sea turtles. And then it turns out that there's way more than I need to know. So yeah, there were a lot of people that helped me out along the way. I had a lot of questions for the turtle rehab in the Florida Keys. They were great to answer anything that I asked. There are a few creative license in here, some things that maybe wouldn't go exactly that way in real life, but, you know, make the story a little bit more fun. And then a lot of research just online of how things worked. I watched a lot of YouTube videos about turtle nests and how they hatch and how those kinds of things happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Way more research than I kind of really thought was going to happen when I started writing. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot in there about turtles in the book. You learn a lot.
And the interesting part is where the honey, that's actually when they use honey on the turtle shells as kind of like a neosporin mm-hmm. Type thing. That's actually what they do at the turtle hospitals. Mm-hmm. That was real life. They said it and I was like, that is super interesting. And that's going in the book.
So Molly, she has been dumped by her fiance. She's kind of bitter. She doesn't believe in love. Then obviously she has to have kind of an arc. And is that challenging when you have a character starting from that kind of position?
Yes and no. I think it gives you a lot more to write about than if they think everything's hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. So it makes her a little more complex and I think fun to write. But there are some points in every time I start writing that I think, I don't know that I can get them out of this. I think, yeah, she's just gonna hate love forever. Mm-hmm. So there are those moments, but it's fun to see them kind of come over that and kind of conquer some of their demons, right? Mm-hmm. And I always think it's interesting when I get to the end of a book and everything, you know, the character has really come through that arc and we've seen that healing and things are going well. This book has my favorite epilogue that I've ever written. I just think how it ends is really fun. And then I go back to do edits and you start back at the beginning and that first chapter, I'm just like, oh, you poor thing. Things are about to get really hard for you. So sorry. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy progression to get over those healing moments.
Is it hard to build the chemistry in a sweet romance where you have so many limitations of you're not allowed to show affection and, you know, there's so many different things that you can do?
I think that it really depends. I think a lot of times that chemistry develops really naturally and sweetly anyway. So there are a lot of parts of it that I think aren't that different than if I didn't have so many limitations. I think there are more limitations sometimes on characters that are really closed off. And so in that aspect, I think it was a little bit harder to get that chemistry up and going in the beginning of this one because she was so anti-love. Almost she put those walls up between them pretty early on. That was interesting about to try to get over them. And really what was standing in their way the whole time, because a lot of times we'll have something else standing between our characters. But in this book, it pretty much was just her walls that she had up around her that we had to get out of the way.
Well, and especially with them working together, because you don't want him to appear creepy or right. too forceful.
Yeah, that and because they had to work together, so you don't want things to go south, right? Because mm-hmm. then you're all and everything gets awkward, which we mm-hmm. actually kind of see a little bit happen.
In yeah, it's a tricky dynamic.
Yeah.
So, are you a big Taylor Swift fan?
My daughter is. So then. That's where that came.
Taylor yes, Swift. The one of the turtles is named Taylor Swiftie, is why I ask.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
That's where she came. Yeah, my daughter named that turtles. Okay. My kids got to name two of the turtles.
Oh, really? What's the other, yeah. What's the other one?
Bear.
Bear.
It's named after our dog. Yeah. Hope had her name pretty much because I needed her to have that name from the mm-hmm. beginning. So I named her, and some of the other turtles and Chompers was actually named after a turtle that was at one of the rehab places that I visited during research. But by the end, it was a lot of turtles to name, even though their names don't come up frequently. It's enough that it was tricky to come up with all those turtle names. Mm-hmm. And that actually happens in the way that turtles are named in the book, where the person who rescues them names them, is how most of the rehab facilities do it too. So
we'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
If you were going to cast a movie of The Beach Escape, who would you cast as Molly Grant?
Oh, goodness. This is always really hard. Okay, I think maybe... my favorite, I think maybe, is Taylor Cole as Molly.
I can see that.
Or maybe I like Jessie Schramm.
Is that her name? Yeah, she'd be good.
I think she would be a good one. For Grant, maybe Jesse Metcalf.
Okay. Yeah. If you had, you could have, he's a little more like slick and cool guy than I think Grant.
Sometimes if you had him a little more casual, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
I was thinking Andrew Walker, I think.
Oh, I do.
Would be good as Grant. Yes.
I think of Grant as being a little darker complected, but yeah, I think Andrew Walker, like his style would be really good.
I also do think Tyler Hines would make a good Grant.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. And I'd be curious to see him and Jesse. That would be interesting. They've never done a movie together.
Let's call Hallmark and tell them, right?
think so.
Yeah, we think this should be a movie, and here's who you should cast.
Although you could easily make it a diverse casting, and that would be cool too.
I think that would be really cool. And the book, actually, they Grant is from his official background, the way I wrote it, is he's from a Cuban family. So he does have a little, we see that more with his names of his cousins, Mateo, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In his official background, the way I wrote it, his mom was Cuban.
That I'm trying to think who I, well, we had, there was some, they did a South Beach movie last year that had
South Beach Club,
actor. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name too, but he was really good. He could make a good Grant.
I think would be good. I've been pushing him whenever we talk about dream casting. I loved the show, The Baker and the Beauty. It was so underrated, and I wish it had gotten canceled after one season because it was so good. But the guy who played Mateo on that show, David Del Rio, he would be good. Oh. He's very charming. And I thought that he and the girl plays Vanessa, that show had such great chemistry. Michelle Ventimiglia. So I want them to be in a Hallmark movie so bad. <they're> so good.
That, yeah, I don't know them, but I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, it's a good show. You'd like it.
I'm gonna add it to my list.
Obviously steamier than Hallmark, but it was on ABC, so it's not like that's okay. That bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let us know if you read the book, if you're listening and you've read the book, let us know what your fan casting would be.
Ooh, I love this when people tell me who they picture them as.
Yes. All right. Well, last time you came on, you did our regular fun, silly questions. So now you get the holiday version. So put on your Christmas cap.
And let's do it.
Holiday answers. All right. First question. What is your favorite holiday drink?
Ooh, golly. Hot chocolate, I think. Peppermint hot chocolate.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. All right. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
I will have to say the cranberry bliss bars from Starbucks.
Oh.
They come out around that, I think maybe is my favorite holiday treat. I only get them very occasionally, but they're so delicious.
Sounds good. All right. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Oh, Holy Night.
Okay, good. All right. What is your favorite classic Christmas movie?
White Christmas. I watch it every year. And last year I have teenagers. So I have a 15-year-old son. And last year I even got him to watch it with me. And he said at the end, he was like, it's actually kind of funny. And I was like, yeah. There is some humor in there, so
yeah,
it.
Well, that's good. There's hope for the future generation.
I know, right? Very good. But after that, you're probably gonna ask another movie.
No, fine.
I think Elf would be my newer favorite movie. That's not an old movie, but still classic.
It's fun. It's hilarious. I love when he goes into the coffee shop. You did it. Congratulations.
I know, right? It's Santa. I know him.
Yeah. You sit on a throne of lies.
Oh, there's so many good lines there.
Yeah. All right. Which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Okay. Which do you prefer, clear lights or colored?
Clear.
Okay. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Oh gosh, build a snowman.
Okay.
I don't like being hit with a snowball.
Yeah.
But I do like building a snowman.
Yes. All right. Do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
Oh, okay. This is a trick question. I want to be a good gift wrapper. Like I buy the things and I try my hardest, but the answer is I'm not really a great gift wrapper. I think that I'm more creative than I am. So in my mind, it looks better than it turns out.
If I really focus, I can, but most of the time I'm just like, I don't really care that much.
I actually try. It just doesn't turn out. Like, I will have coordinated themes for my wrapping paper. So 2 years ago, I had all this glitter because I sometimes make bad choices. So I had this like bows with this tulle that was covered in glitter. I mean, it was beautiful in my head. It was going to be like this big sparkly bow on top of everybody's package. But I had run out of time because, of course, I was on a deadline and had to get a book in and then all the kids stuff on Christmas. And so I'm wrapping all these presents in my closet. Y'all, there was glitter in my closet for, I mean, it's probably still in there. It was a mess. There was, yeah. So no more do I put glitter bows on everything.
Yeah, the glad's glitter. I mean, it'll get everywhere.
So I try. It doesn't turn out like I hope. There was glitter on everything but the presents.
Right. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
I do. And I hope she's not listening. It was actually a gift that was meant to be a real Christmas sweater. Before I started writing, I was a classroom teacher. I taught elementary school. And so it was a sweater that was gifted to me to be what I wear to school, to be festive. But it is not cute.
So it wasn't ironically, like it was given.
Oh no, it was a legit for, it was not supposed to be an ugly Christmas. It was not an ironic gift. No, it was a, somebody picked this out special for me to wear to be festive.
What does it have on it?
It has clotheslines with all of Santa's clothes hanging off of it, like socks, underwear, his hat, his coat, and with like pom-pom balls on the top of the hat. And there's candy canes sticking off too. It's special. See,
that's like a real ugly Christmas sweater though. That's legit. It's not one of these ones that are made.
Oh no, I did not go to Walmart and buy from their Christmas
section. Those aren't as good.
Man, it might've been expensive too. This was a real Christmas sweater. It's many years old. It's probably about 20 years old now. So it gets funnier over the years.
That's really funny. I bet it's really scratchy though.
You know, the inside's really not. It was, I guess it was kind of a nice brand maybe. So it's not scratchy.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's actually very well made.
So, cool.
Kudos to the brand that makes the legit ugly Christmas sweaters.
Well, congratulations on the book. When does it come out?
It comes out August 9th.
August 9th. That's so exciting.
I have it with me. I'll show it on our Zoom. Yay! With a little turtle on the cover. Don't we just love him? So fun.
And you've got to figure out a new beach story so that you can expense some beach vacations.
That's what I am talking about, right? There might be a few in the works. So.
Yeah. Next one set in Hawaii for some reason.
I know, right? I keep saying that.
Well, great. Well, congratulations on the book and people, we'll put links down, our affiliate links into your website and everything that people want to, if people want to get your books, they can do so. We would very much appreciate that using our affiliate link and thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Yes, definitely. And are you on social media or anything like that you want to share?
I am. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And all of those links are on my website. So if you click those websites, you can find me. I think Rachel, my website is rachelmcgeebooks.com.
And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us a lot. And if you're watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have the Patreon group and merch store, which are a ton of fun. And all the links are in the description. Please take a look at that. And thanks again, Rachel. This was very much fun to talk about your book and to catch up. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone.